Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the October 22nd, 2024, and the year of the Lord, 2024, City Council meeting. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Michael, we'll let you lead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Jory, good to have you back. I don't think it's going to be a 10-minute meeting tonight.
It's okay.
I think we've got some students out there, right? We always have a rule. When there's students, 2-hour minimum. So I don't know what your bedtimes are. If you got homework to do, you better take notes and do homework at the same time. Anyway, we'll go with the roll call, please.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Okay, I have no amendments to the agenda. We do have a presentation. We have the fiscal year 2024 audit presentation, and this is some amazing, exciting news. Rob, are you starting?
Actually, Jen from Lauterbach.
Jen's starting. I'm sorry, Jen. And Jen, you live close by, right?
Very close by, yes.
Kind of slick, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love coming here.
Well, thank you. We love having you here, especially when you have fantastic, exciting, awesome news.
Everybody loves the audit, right?
Yes, we love the audit. Okay, take it away, please.
All right. So I am Jen Martinson with Lauterbach and Amen, here to present the audit results for the fiscal year ended April 30th, 2024. I do want to start, as we do each year, by thanking Rob and the rest of the finance team for all of their hard work during the audit process. They do fantastic work year-round, which makes this process very smooth for us. So thank you very much. As council knows, an audit is required to be completed within 6 months of the city's fiscal year end. And really the goal of the audit is for us as your auditors to be able to provide an opinion on the financial statements presented this evening. So we have done that. We have issued an unmodified opinion, which is a clean audit opinion, is the highest opinion that we can issue. And it really just means that the financial statements are materially correct or do in fact accurately represent the financial position of the city of Yorkville. So, as we said, exciting news, we have a clean audit opinion. I know Rob is going to go into some of the financial results in more detail, but I do want to point out for council this evening some important pieces within the audit report. I know it's a rather large document, so if I can kind of break it down for you and let you know where to focus your attention, that's my goal. So there's three sections, your introductory section, your financial section, and your statistical section. Within that first introductory section, you'll have two pieces of information I do want to point out. So the transmittal letter, which is on page 3, right at the start of the audit report. And that's really a narrative, non-financial overview for the city written in management's words. So again, nice just introduction to the city and the audit. Also on page 9, you'll find the certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting that was awarded to the city again for the fiscal year ended April 30th, 2023. So we do also anticipate, as this report will be submitted, that you will receive that award again for fiscal year 2024. But that is one of the highest, if not highest award, really, for financial reporting. So congratulations to the city for receiving that award again. In the financial section, you'll find the MD&A, or Management's Discussion and Analysis, which starts on page 17. This is about 13 pages, and we'll say it's the executive summary to the audit report, as you have likely heard me say before. So it is a narrative summary of all of the financial information to follow. If you read just those 13 pages, you'll kind of have a great idea of all of the information throughout the audit and the financial statements. It's going to touch on key highlights, which I know, again, Rob will be going through with you as well. Changes from last year to this year. So it really takes this 200-page report and summarizes it nicely. So I would encourage you to spend your time there. Additionally, the budgetary comparison schedules, which are typically of interest, are starting on page 111. You can see in more detail that, again, budgetary comparison from budget to actual for the year, in more detail there. And then finally, the last section, the statistical section. This is probably the coolest part of the audit report, I like to say. So you'll have 10 years of trend information for a variety of topics. That's going to start on page 173. So 10 years of trend information on fund balances, major revenues, expenditures, some more detailed information on debt, the comparisons there. So really a wealth of information in that last section, some of that trend information for the city. Additionally, we do have a smaller report we call the management letter. This is really our way to communicate with management and with council if you have any recommendations throughout the audit process. And really you'll see within that document, most of those recommendations are just related to upcoming GASB, governmental accounting standards board statements. So really more just an awareness and a few recommendations there. Just letting you know those statements are coming. We will work closely with Rob and the team to be sure they get implemented properly. We're over 100 now, so they're keeping us nice and busy here with these standards. And yeah, I would be required to communicate this evening as well if we had any difficulties during the audit, disagreements with management, or things of that nature, and I'm happy to say that we did not. So clean audit process, clean audit opinion. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have before Rob gets started.
Questions from council? Council, do you have any questions?
Oh, sir.
Rob, take it away.
All right.
I think that's a song by Paul McCartney. Take it away. I want to hear you play. It's from the 80s. A lot of you aren't familiar with the 80s.
So this is the audit overview for the fiscal year ended 2024. As Jen mentioned, we did receive the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. That's the city's 13th year in a row. As you mentioned, we'll submit again and hope to make it 14.
So that's for U.S. and Canada.
That's right.
I didn't realize that. You know, if you're ever talking to a Canadian and you get a little heated debate, you just say, you're going to be the 51st state someday. And they get so angry and they quit arguing. I learned that a time or two ago.
So we're going to start off, we have a little bit of history here, the general fund fund balance. Almost going back an entire generation, 18 years. So you can see back in 2006, we had fund balance of over $6 million. As the Great Recession hit us, as well as the general economy, you can see that fund balance starting to dwindling down. We had some bad debt that we wrote off in fiscal year 2010, causing fund balance to actually go negative by about $500,000. We then went back up a little bit in FY11, but it went back into the positive territory back in FY12. We had a substantial jump in fund balance in FY13, which was the first full year that we had the non-home rule sales tax being implemented. And since then, fund balance has continued to increase. It eclipsed $10 million in FY22, and at the end of the current year, fiscal year 2024, it is at $11.3 million for 47% fund balance, or a 37% fund balance if you include the negative equity of the TIPS.
Rob, I have a question.
Yes.
So, and I should have asked this years ago, maybe I did. So when we had the negative fund balance, did the auditors require us to book that as payables? Because I know in business, if you have negative fund balance, not that a business ever would, you can't show negative cash on hand, you got to show payables.
Well, we have to do an interfund receivable and interfund payable to wipe out the negative cash balances for funds, but the fund balance still showed negative, and actually at that time, the other funds were supporting the general fund.
Oh, sewer, okay.
Et cetera.
Perfect.
Just all right.
One of those Alex Trebek trivia questions there.
So looking at the other side of it, you have general fund budget surplus and deficits. Again, we had bond proceeds in FY26 that we were using for road work at the time. Had a couple years of of deficit spending those bond proceeds down. Again, you can see in FY13 the surplus amount increasing. Due to the non-home rule sales tax, we had a little blip in FY14 when we had to close out the old municipal building and a rec center fund, but since then we've had a string of surpluses, most notably in 21 and 22, due to the strong performance of state taxes, particularly sales and income tax. And this year's surplus is pretty similar to last year's surplus at $320,000. So we have our major revenue streams, primarily in the general fund. Sales tax finished at $4.87 billion this year, did very well. was a 5.5% increase, which is pretty substantial. Normally we have a good year if it's 3%, and we almost doubled that. Let's see. Our utility tax went down about 12% due to lower natural gas prices, but income tax was up by 7% year over year. And building permits in the general fund were at $810,000. Keep in mind that just covers the cost of building department personnel along with related contractual and supply expenditures. We actually did $225,000 more in building permits for a total of a little over $1 million, and that $225,000 was deposited to the citywide capital fund for use for future capital projects. And then investment earnings also did very well in FY24, $687,000 in the general fund. Citywide, we did $1.47 million, which again is more than double than we did in FY23. Citywide was about $600,000. Looking to the other side of the ledger, we have the budgeted expenses versus actual expenditures for the various city departments within the general fund and outside the general fund. And you can see that all departments within the general fund, admin, finance, police, community development, public works, and admin services were all under budget. And the same held true for library operations, parks and rec, and water and sewer operations as well.
So, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Thank you. So the library operations, they end up being $131,000 under their actual expenses.
Correct.
On the budget versus the actual. So any extra monies they have goes to their fund balance, right?
Correct. It falls to their fund balance.
So they can use that for capital improvements, capital projects that their board chooses to use.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yes.
Oh, wrong audience tonight. Sorry. Thank you.
Sure. Here's a little snapshot of the general fund. Again, all good news. The revenues exceeded budgeted amounts by 105%. Expenditures came in less than budgeted amounts at 95%. Of note here, you'll notice that the net transfers out actually exceed budgeted amounts by $1.9 million. And that was a policy decision that the council made during the FY25 budget process that we would take this additional transfer and transfer it into our capital project funds, building and grounds, as well as citywide capital to help fund the subdivision cluster that we're currently working on this year and then next year and the year after that as well, along with other additional capital projects that we have planned in FY25 and beyond. But had we not transferred out those additional funds, our general fund surplus would have been closer to $2.25 million. So looking at fund balance categories, if you're interested, you can find those on page 79. There's also a plethora of information about pensions and OPEB. OPEB is other post-employment benefits. Basically, that is the implicit cost that the city incurs for having retirees on our health insurance program, which we have to pursuant to state statute. Taking a little bit of a deeper dive into our pension funds here, IMRF, retirement fund. I had a good year. Liabilities increased by $1.5 million, but the reserve or the debt position of IMRF increased by 2.1. And as you can see, the fund IMRF is very well funded at the end of December, which is the end of their fiscal year. We're at 95%. Looking at the police pension fund, this is actually the first full year that IPOPIF, the new super fund, the Illinois Police Officer Pension Investment Fund, made all the decisions for all downstate police pension funds, and they did well. They had an investment return of 9.54%, which exceeded the actual benchmark of 7%. And you can see as the years have progressed, we're certainly doing better than we were 5 years ago, and the fund finishes at April 24 at about 57% funded. So we are making positive progress with that fund. Again, as a matter of note, the city's long-term debt, a summary of that can be found on page 71. If you want to look at specific debt service schedules, you can, and those are also listed within the annual comprehensive financial report starting on page 159, along with our developer commitment narratives, which start on page 81. Again, as Jen mentioned, the final portion of the ACFR is the statistical section, where you find a lot of historical trends covering the city's finances, our revenue, our debt capacity, demographic and economic information, as well as various operating metrics. And we always like to look at our full-time employee count. At the end of FY24, we're at 94 full-time employees, which is similar to what we were at in 2007, a little bit less at 91. But we're still below our all-time high of 96 full-time employees, which was occurred in 2008. And then again, if you're looking for additional operation metrics, you can find those starting on page 205. Traffic violation permits, streets inventory, and the new housing starts, things like that.
Rob, may I ask you another question?
Sure.
Maybe this is more for Bart. In 2008, was the building inspections, were those farmed out at that point?
They were.
So actually, if we had that in house, we'd have more employees back then?
Yes.
So we're running, what was the population back then? Maybe 12,000, 14,000?
Yeah, rather.
So we have double the population and substantially actually less full-time equivalents. So kudos to all you, especially your office, Christy, because I know you're doing a ton of permits over there. So thank you all. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Sure. I'll switch your gears to the management letter. No new recommendations, which is a good thing. We do have a couple prior year recommendations. As always, we do have the Countryside and Downtown TIF with negative fund equity. The TIFs are getting better. We do have our Downtown 2 TIF has a positive fund balance and finished the current fiscal year with a positive $216,000 in fund balance. And then we also have a slew of GASB pronouncements to either we've already implemented or we will implement them, as Jen alluded to. GASB 94, private-public-public-public partnership, availability payment arrangements. It's a real mouthful. The good news is that it is implemented. And then GASB 96, which has to do with subscription-based information technology arrangements, that's been implemented as well. And then we have two for the for this fiscal year, for FY25, that deal with accounting changes and corrections, as well as some changes to how we book compensated absences. So as we move beyond the audit, as you all are aware, we are currently in our tax levy discussion. The levy estimate was approved at our last meeting. We have our public hearing scheduled for next meeting, November the 12th, with discussion and potential vote either the last meeting in November or the first meeting in December. After that, we have our budget rollout for fiscal year 26. We've already started at a staff level with that. Get the budget finalized in February. Presented to City Council in February and the public hearing in March, which leaves us three meetings or so for discussion and approval. That concludes the audit presentation. Happy to take any questions.
Questions? Comments? Rob, I was impressed. You used plethora and slew in the same presentation on an audit.
All right, I'll do what I can.
That's pretty good for a CPA.
Okay. Appreciate that.
So do I. No one? Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Jen, thank you. You can stick around. You can go home and feed the dog or walk the dog or watch reruns of Seinfeld or whatever it is. Thank you. Okay. We don't have any public hearings, do we? That's next meeting, right? Is that what Ron just said?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any citizens who would like to comment on items on the agenda? Again, this time is for commenting on items that are on the agenda. Anyone want to speak to anything on the agenda? No? Okay. Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
you're just getting you're just getting an agenda. You can speak if you want, if it's about the agenda, but you're probably taking notes too, right? A bunch of you are taking notes. There'll be a quiz at the end. Quiz number one question for class. Is there a dress code for the city council meeting? Thank you. Well, that was for the students. Are you a student? Oh, geez, that's like a teacher giving away the answer. Pop quiz. But that's fair. Okay, so the consent agenda, we have minutes from October 8th, 24, bills totaling $2,620,576.05. Grand Reserve, Unit 6, acceptance, and they have put money aside for sidewalks that need to be completed. 2484 North Point, a sign easement. This is for Fox Hill Subdivision, is that correct? Nice.
Yes.
Quick Trip easement plat, authorize the mayor, clerk, and city engineer to execute. Treasurer's Report for September 2024 and the Fiscal Year 2024 Annual Treasurer's Report. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
Second.
I heard Soling. I think I heard Koch, but we'll go with that unless somebody heard otherwise. Tell me when you're ready there, ma'am.
Good.
Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Tough decision, Mr. Plocher. I understand.
Yeah.
He was taking a drink.
Next, the mayor's report. Oh my God, that's me again. So next Friday is the 31st, Halloween. Is it Thursday?
Thursday.
Oh, but damn. Okay, next Thursday is the 31st. Oh, Friday, I got to go to Mass. That's what that is. What are the hours? 4 to 7 for trick-or-treating?
Yes, sir.
Nice. And next, or this Friday, it's just something to a school, but the dual language program in the school district has their Dia de los Muertos festival. So I'll get to support this thing again. Dancing skeletons for Dia de los Muertos. Very good time. If any of you get a chance and you're not in the program, just sneak in. They usually have some pretty good food. And they have some good entertainment, too. Okay, but that really isn't on the agenda. What's on the agenda? Oh, we have an ordinance authorizing the acquisition of certain easements for the construction of water mains for Kalaka LLC. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
Second.
I think it was Merrick and Terulis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And Bart, there's what's cost to us on this one?
$0.
Perfect. I just need your support, please. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Oh, well, I have something a little lengthier to read than is listed here. Is that this one you start?
Yeah.
See, if that were a red star, it would be easier when I blended it. You understand that?
No,
I don't mean a red star like the cameras, so.
I get it now.
Okay. So next, for Public Works and Parks Facility, construction manager selection. I'm looking for a motion to approve R.C. Wegman as a construction manager for the Public Works and Parks Facility and approve the pre-construction services proposal with Wegman in the amount not to exceed $45,000.
So moved.
Second.
Soling and was it Transier, I think, maybe? I don't know. Is that who you heard?
Yeah.
Okay, Bart, you want to just explain this, please?
Sure. So as you mentioned, the last meeting, we've concluded our construction manager interviews. We did unanimously, as a staff, plus Alderman Cornels and Mayor Purcell on the interview team, recommend R.C. Wegman as the finalist for our construction manager for our public works facility. So we've been hard at work the past couple weeks negotiating documents and reviewing different contracts, and that work is still ongoing. Hopefully it will be complete for your vote on the November 12th City Council agenda. So in order to move forward with the final phases of the design phase, we did have R.C. Wegman put together a pre-construction services proposal. It is in the amount of $45,000. It's included in the packet. And this will just allow them to work with Kluber immediately to kind of finalize the scope of the building, make some design choices, and get the building out to bid as quickly as possible after a formal contract is signed for the rest of the project. The R.C. Wegman team is here, led by President Colette Rosansky. If anybody has any questions, I'm sure the R.C. Wegman team can take them.
Colette's the one in the middle. Just you never know nowadays.
Yes. So we're recommending them to be named as the construction manager of record for the project as well. So there is notes in the packet from our interview process, including links to the other proposals and what we did, and we're looking for the endorsement of them so we can continue to negotiate as well. With that, happy to take any questions that anybody has.
Questions and or comments? Okay, do a roll call.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Abstain.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. That's exciting. Thanks for coming to our meeting. Sorry you had to stay here for all this.
Thank you. We're very excited.
All right, good. Well, if you're really excited, you can stick around to the end of the meeting. You don't have to, though. Ooh. We do. We absolutely do. I got to wear a big one. Okay, public works. So this is lengthy, and I don't have to do it.
Okay, I got six items. So the first item is 2025 Road to Better Roads Program Design Engineering Agreement. It's a motion to approve the 2025 Road to Better Roads Program Professional Service Agreement, Design Engineering, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Merrick. And this is for approximately how many miles of roads? I should have asked earlier. Sorry. Should have prepped you. I'm trying to help out these students here.
Well, I can tell you it's about $1.4 million.
Okay, that's perfect.
It equates to miles at the
moment. $1.4 million for construction, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so this, if any of you have the agenda or making notes, I saw you get the agenda over there. This, when we build these roads, we're estimating there'll be $1.4 million. That's just for item one, okay? Good notes. All of you can take those notes. And I know you all have to speak about 20 minutes on this in your class. Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, item two, 2025 Local Road Program Design Engineering Agreement. A motion to approve the 2025 Local Road Program Professional Service Agreement, Design Engineering, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Siever. And how much?
$3 to $3.5 million
for the construction. So that's quite a bit of roads. We got a lot of roads we're trying to fix here in the next couple years. And so you all know, for the students, Mr. Koch, see, we have four committees besides the city council. We meet twice a month. They have four committees, and Mr. Koch chairs the public works committee. That's why he's giving the report. And it gives them a chance to not have to listen to me, but I'm still talking. So, okay, other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good.
Okay. Item three, the East Alley Water Main Improvements Design Engineering Agreement. It's a motion to approve the East Alley Water Main Improvements, an agreement for professional services, design engineering, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second by Soling. Any questions or comments? So this is for the new, no wait, no, this
alley.
Is, sorry, that's the next one, the East Alley. So the East Alley, if y'all go downtown, where like Rowdy's is and the Vault is, on the, what is that, the east side, the alley behind that we call the East Alley. The water main is how old?
70s.
From the 70s. Yeah, so not quite as old as I am, but it's getting up there. And we need to replace it. We're going to do some cool improvements over there. And this helps us do that. Questions and comments from council? Roll call.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice.
Okay. Item four. Water well number 10 and well number 7, water treatment plant electrical improvements, recommendation of award. It's a motion to accept the bid and award contract to H. Linden and Sun Sewer and Water Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $2.4 million, $7, and authorize the mayor to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Funkhauser? Yeah. And this is for a new water tower behind the high school?
A new well.
A new well, sorry. New well. Thank you.
For site working electrical work related to that well project.
Excellent. So there, again, we're doing a new well, all this exciting stuff going on. Questions, comments from the council? Go ahead, please.
Merrick?
Abstain.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Abstain.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item five, water well number 10 equipment and well number 7 water treatment plant electrical improvements construction engineering agreements. It's a motion to approve the water well number 10 equipment professional service agreement and well number 7 water treatment plant improvements professional service agreement construction engineering and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Transier,
questions? Roll call.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Item six, Lake Michigan Lithia loan application change order and contract amendment. It's a motion to approve the change order in the amount not to exceed $57,000 and contract amendment to the Lake Michigan Lithia loan application agreement for professional services and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Funkhauser? Bart, just briefly describe this, please.
Yeah, we had approved the WIFIA contract with EEI using Stantec as a subcontractor last year. We have spent many more hours in meetings with the EPA than we expected, resulting in both Stantec and EEI spending a lot more time than they had scoped out their proposal. The change order is for $57,000 on top of the original $84,000 contract.
No questions, comments? Roll call.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Mr. Koch?
Nope, that would be it.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
You're busy that meeting. Economic Development Committee, do we have anything?
No report.
Public Safety?
No report.
Admin Committee, we have something here.
One item, yeah.
Very nice, Mr. Merrick.
Ken has a big list tonight. So I've got ADM 2024-43, a resolution approving an increase in funding for Kendall Area Transit. Motion to approve a resolution approving an increase in funding for the Kendall Area Transit project and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Trulis. Bart, just briefly explain this, please.
Yeah, the city contributes to the Kendall Area Transit System in the amount of about $23,000, which has been in place for more than a decade without any adjustments. Kendall Area Transit is looking to do a service expansion to decrease the amount of turnaways that they've had over the past year. And so they're asking all the municipalities in Kendall County to increase their contributions. So our contribution is proposed to increase from about $23,000 this year to $31,000 next year to $40,000 the year after to $48,000 the year after that, ending at least a three-year increased commitment as part of this resolution.
Questions? And the Kendall Area Transport is a pay-for-ride service?
Yes, it is subsidized by state, federal, and local funds, of which the local funds are the smallest share of that pie by far.
Excellent. It's a good program. Questions, comments? Mr. Soling.
Any representatives from Kendall Area Transit?
There is one, yes. Jennifer from the county is here.
Hi. Okay, hi, how are you? So, kind of reviewing your map here, I have a special needs son, and I want to make sure this is very clear, this is not about him. But reviewing your map, when looking at your service areas and setting up transportation for my son, transportation was denied based on where he was going, but according to your maps, you guys do attempt services out there. Can you explain to me why you're telling people that you don't service places outside of Kendall County, but your maps show that you're picking up and dropping off in parts of DuPage, parts of Kane, parts of Will?
Yeah. Please. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so for that, our radius is Kendall County. We do have about a 7-mile radius. What we do is we work with the like DuPage, their transit, and we meet and then drop them off and then they pick them off. So it's more of a hassle is what we're trying to eliminate. So right now our main focus is Kendall County. We do have a little radius on the outside, but for the farther ones,
we have to either make a work with the other counties with their transit and then drop off and pick up. So that's why we try to focus it more just for Kendall County. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. But what I'm failing to understand is when you're having to deny people based on operating funds and not having enough people, why are we being told that you don't service the areas that you service? That is more where I'm getting at.
I'm not understanding the question.
So,
sorry.
For example, we live here in Yorkville, obviously.
Yep.
My son was going to be transferred to Bedarsa Junior High. We were told through the Kendall County Special Education Foundation, they don't service that area because it's outside of Kendall County. And I just want to make sure that if we're going to continue to fund this, we're being truthful and honest with people about reasons why we're going to have to turn away people. Not because we don't service areas, but clearly we do by the information you're giving out. So make sure we're not misleading people.
No, and I completely understand. I will double check with that. For me, what I was told is we service the Kendall County area plus or minus 7 mile radius. With those 7 mile radiuses, we have to work with the other counties to have their bus meet us, drop us off, and then pick them up and then work with them. That is where we have the situation. The main reasons why we have a lot of turnaways is, like, I can give you an example of right now. A lot of people are trying to get into doctor's appointments, and right now we currently have 3 to 4 full-time drivers. We're trying to hire them, and then our buses are currently at capacity, so that's what we're trying to get for more municipal funding to get better, to get drivers, to get buses, to get to the capacity of where we don't have to turn away 130 people a bus. But I can definitely look into making sure that is what we're told and that's what we're promoting, that we're in Kendall County, and then we have the 2 mile radius. Anything outside that's what we're going to deny. I can make sure that is more clear.
Sure, and if you could get that information to Laura at the special education.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Well, I emailed her a copy of her map.
Yeah.
So she had that.
Yeah.
And so with this fund increase, mm-hmm. that is the purpose is more buses, more drivers.
More buses, more drivers. We would like to operate into Saturdays as well, because I know that there's a demand, but that is a farther down the road. We want to make sure that we actually can meet our Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 first, and then operate into Saturdays. That is our long-term goal.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, Ken, do you want to go ahead?
I know we discussed this, I think, at the committee meeting. The school that he mentioned is in Kane County, right? Is that true?
It's Oswego School District.
Right, but I think that falls into Kane probably.
It does fall, but on the maps it shows that they do service.
So what I had noticed at the committee meeting was that there was a sandwich that brings a lot of residents this way. And I asked that kind of question, like, okay, I didn't see the revenue side of it, you know, them increasing that. And I think she explained it to us at the meeting that they pay through the DeKalb County. And so maybe that's where we need to see if the Kane County, do you have the same relationship with Kane County?
Yeah, I believe with all the external counties, we have that kind of relationship of who pays what type. We have a third party we use, the Voluntary Action Center of Northern Illinois. They're the ones that run everything. I'm on the Kendall County side, I do the financials. So I can definitely just verify that those are the correct, what they're telling me, just to make sure that I'm not saying anything incorrect and that they're gonna, that everyone's saying the correct stuff.
That's it. I have one, unless anyone else has anything. Dan?
With this increased funding, is your mode of operation going to be reviewed? Because, like, are you going to look to maybe have timed and scheduled routes as opposed to service pickups?
Right now, we're the demand service where they call and then we schedule them. We're not at that availability to have, like, scheduled rides. That is a 10-year goal.
Okay.
Just putting that out there, it is Saturday, I feel like, is a little bit more attainable than trying to make a route.
But it's on the radar.
But it is on my radar to look into, yes.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Others? Mr. Funkhauser.
When you talk about the 7 mile radius, is that based out of the location where the vehicles are housed out of, you know, a base operation, or is, because I know you said out of Yorkville.
It is based off of where Kendall County hit, so we're at the 111 West Fox Street, that is the 7 mile.
Oh, the office, Kendall County office.
So you're running from the Kendall County offices.
Yes,
so if you're talking Plainfield,
Kendall County, yes.
That's 10 miles Plainfield, yes. But you're just right on the edge of, you know,
so
my services out
yes,
there,
yes, that was what I was told, yes.
Okay. When it comes to the contributions, there's Aurora, Lisbon, Millington, and Minooka. They had not previously paid anything in. On the current information, it shows that they would be paying per capita based on the population within Kendall County. Is that correct, that they are now going to be participating?
Yes, that is correct. I actively just got Minooka on, and we're working with Aurora right now, and then I have a meeting with Lisbon next week, so I'm going to get everybody.
Lisbon? I'm impressed. They got a cesspool down there they got to fix. So, any other questions? Because I have one, but it can wait till everyone else is done. And you, I think you mentioned, or Bart mentioned, but what is the match? So for every dollar you get from local, you get, what is it, like $4 or $5 from the feds?
Yes, it's 1 to 3.
Oh, 1 to 3,
it's
okay.
1 to 3 ratio. So every dollar you contribute, you basically get $3 back.
So it's a 25%
yeah.
Local, 70, okay.
So that's why we're also trying to increase, so we can get more money from our dope.
Yeah, no, that's great. Any other questions? It's been a great program, it really has. So, okay. We still need to vote, don't we?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That might be the most questions all night. Who knows? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, everyone. Matty Ice, anything else? We're not done. I'm calling your teacher. Speed dial. I will have the teacher call before you get to your cars. You'll get stars for staying extra, right? Okay. Park board, anything?
Just a reminder that the Flags of Valor starts on November 4th for Veterans Day. If you want to like this, sponsor a flag, it's $30.
Excellent. Anything else? Holidays are just around the corner. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
Yes, holiday celebration. Discuss more of that in November.
5K, all that. I've won, I think, 2 years in a row.
Yes, you have.
First place for elected mayors of Yorkville at that time. Who are 55 years old or 54 years old or whatever it was at the time. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission. This is back to me. We have PZC 2401 and EDC 2453. The Yorkville Renewable Solar NextAmp, and this is a presentation. There were quite a few questions came out from the last meeting, and so they have elected to do a presentation tonight. I know Dan is your attorney, Dan Kramer. Dan, a lot of these things we've been talking about throughout the meeting, you probably remember some of this from years ago.
Well, we started this almost 2 years ago, and with Christie's help, one of the big concerns was getting the Westbury Village PUD revoked. With the various foreclosures that happened in that property, it ended up being 11 different owners. So it's sort of like herding cats, but it's finally done. We passed approving the termination of that agreement. We were held in abeyance, although we went through staff meetings, worked with staff diligently, EDC committee and so on, while we were waiting for that final PUD agreement to get taken care of. I know 4 members of the city council are in the EDC committee, so they saw this presentation already. The other 4 did not. And NextAmp, we think, has been a great citizen for Yorkville. You approve the zoning for a different project on the Bennett Farm family piece. They've leased 40 acres to them. and that land was all floodplain, so it couldn't be developed for residential, commercial, anything else. Depends on growing some crops, wet years, they've got a lot of crops flooded out, so we think that was a great addition to the city. Dan Nagel, who I represent, besides representing NextDam, owns 73 acres, starting up by the former Under Desser residence, and one of the Undessers lives up on Galena Road on the south side. There's a service drive that was put in years ago before the economy crashed in 2007 to service the sewer interceptor that went up there, is installed in there. So this development is not on 47, it's west of the drainage ditch, the Rob Roy, and it's west of that service road.
Do we have a map at all?
Yeah, we're going to...
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, just...
But I'm just trying to get you oriented that of the 73 acres Dan and Shireen Nagel own, it's only the very southerly 27 acres that's being developed with the solar facility. Dan expects the land north of the solar facility going all the way to Kalina to eventually be residential property, and that's his goal, and that's what it was with the original PUD agreement. He also owns the land on the east side, adjacent to 47 from the Rob Roy district. It doesn't have tremendous depth to it, but that should be commercial. That's what was originally planned, and that's what Dan plans on doing as well. So again, this facility would sit behind the back of commercial buildings plus screenings that Matt will show you visually about. So I'll turn it over to Matt because a picture's worth a thousand words, and we promised we'd be brief this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, City Council members, thank you for having me today. We're excited to be part of the Yorkville community. And I'll briefly run through some slides that we shared at the EDC meeting and at the Planning and Zoning Committee meeting.
Now try it.
Okay. Just briefly, who is NextDam? We were founded in 2007 by two Army captains. Came back from tours of duty, felt like a lot of conflict was over natural resources, primarily oil, so they decided that they wanted to start a domestic energy company. So started off with small rooftop installations and quickly pivoted to community solar, which is the projects that are larger than rooftop installations but much smaller than utility scale, which could be hundreds or thousands of acres. We are now the largest community solar developer in the country, including the state of Illinois. We have over 475 employees, and our headquarters are based in Chicago and Boston. So a couple months ago, we announced our headquarters opening in Chicago with Governor Pritzker, and around the same time, signed a contract with a solar manufacturer out of Iron Mountain, Minnesota, so that we could have domestic supply of materials for our projects. So we're built in the USA for these systems. Just a little bit about NextDam. So again, we're coast to coast. We have projects from Maine to Hawaii and everywhere in between. And just to orient you, this is the Nagel property outlined in red on the north side of the city of Yorkville.
Can you zoom that in at all?
Yep, on the next slide. So this is at the southwest corner of Galena Road and Route 47. In yellow, you can see the outline of our lease area from the landowner. So we started this project 2.5 years ago. We negotiated a lease with the landowner that, again, he wanted to preserve his frontage along Route 47 and Galena Road, and wanted us to keep it in a spot that was tucked away and preserve those opportunities for himself. So you'll see on our northwest side, we're adjacent to the recycling landscape facility, and to the north, east, and south is agricultural land, or currently farmed.
So when you say the recycling, is that the composting he's talking about?
Green organics.
Green organics on the west side.
That's the county one or the one we had? Or well, there was one that we were involved in.
The one that the city had was partially on Nagels. It's no longer there. So this is all county.
So this was part of the compost thing at one time?
A portion, yeah.
And then I'm just looking at the map here. On the northeast corner, so you don't even go to the hard corner of Galena and Route 47. That's the county of the Forest Preserve, isn't that correct?
That's the old rest area that used to be there. And again, the commercial that we talked about with Dan would be on the east of Rob Roy Drainage District in the southwest, right there. So it's not a huge area, but he definitely intends for the area east of Rob Roy to be commercial. And all of the red area, excluding the yellow, that's west of Rob Roy Drainage District, would be residential. And we're over 1,500 feet from the solar to Galena Road. And Matt will talk about how far we off 47.
Yep, off 47, the system is set back 1,000 feet or more from Route 47, so preserving the frontage there that however the landowner and the city decide the remaining of the property to be developed, whether it's commercial or residential or a combination, we kind of see us being on the back side of some sort of large commercial use. So
Christy, the 1,000 foot, that was that our new ordinance that was passed?
Yes.
Back in March?
Correct.
Okay, so March, whatever, it was end of March.
And that was reflected because of a property north up by Baseline Road, right? We did that.
Well, based on the discussion we had, that and others,
The
council was not excited about having these too close to the road, so it went through the committee process, and I think it was a 7-1 vote in favor of setting it back 1,000 foot.
And frankly, we made sure, Alderman Cope, that we stayed more than 1,000 before the ordinance was, because we heard the discussion. Merritt was very vocal in some committees saying he didn't want people driving down 47. The first thing they saw was solar, right? So we abided by the 1,000 from 47 way before you even passed the ordinance. And just so I'm not making clear enough, that heavier green area near the west line of the red, that mirrors where that service road is for the sewer. And again, we're in the west side of it. So there would be both the creek or Rob Roy Drainage District and that road between the solar facility at 47 plus green.
What is the growth like there? Are those, what kind, are those trees?
So, are you talking on the northeast corner of the yellow box?
Yeah, right where he is.
There's a floodplain that EEI mapped several years ago on this portion of the property. So that's a pretty wet area that isn't farmed, or isn't usually farmed, that is in the floodplain. So, part of kind of the decision to put it in this corner is the landowner is trying to preserve his best frontage for future uses, but also this portion of the property, about 30% of it, is in the floodplain. So he sees that as difficult to develop for other uses. So we agree with him that solar is a good use for a floodplain area, providing great buffer for his future development from a recycling center that is dusty, and we've worked hard with the recycling center to remove some of the material that they trespassed onto the Nagel property. So we've been cleaning up that area with the recycling facility.
I think where Alderman Pope was going, tell me if I'm wrong, that dark green area reflects hydric soils. It's not dense forest. It just shows that it's wet.
So there's no trees within the yellow box area. It's either farmed or it's piled with soil, or it's got a little bit of a wet area.
And then does this, Chrissy, does this require a fence around it?
It does.
It does. How high a fence?
8 feet.
8 feet. So you'd be looking at an 8-foot fence from the highway. If you could even see it when the crops are up, you wouldn't even see it if there's crops.
So the fence will be opaque, so no transparency. See through it.
And then on the next slide, I'll show you the landscape screen that's
around the
So this is kind of a detailed site plan, kind of showing the layout of the system, and then the setbacks to kind of all the key points. Again, over 1,000 feet from Route 47, more than 1,300 feet from Galena Road, and the nearest home is over 1,200 feet away from the system. And so this is the landscape plan, native pollinator plants below the system, and then along the north side, the south side, and the east side of the system, there's robust landscaping screening, particularly on the east side. We're required to use the same screening requirements that was used on a recent data center, so very robust requirements that we've included. And then just to note, we're also including parkway and street trees along the portions of the Nagel property that abut 47 and Galena Road.
Will those be outside where the construction will be?
Yes, so the construction will be limited to just the lower left-hand corner.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm at the Route 47. Route 47 construction. They're going to widen
that. So that'll be outside of the right-of-way.
Oh, right-of-way. Okay. So you'll have trees there, and those trees will meet our, we have a tree ordinance or something?
Correct.
What is the size of those, Christy, that would go in?
I don't know, but they have to be larger than, I think, a 4-foot diameter breast width. So I don't know what would be installed, what size they would be installed, but there's a minimum requirement in our ordinance.
Our residential requirements are 2.5-inch diameter trees.
And that's taking into account the IDOT expansion or right away.
So yeah, the IDOT expansion is actually just a little sliver of the Nagel property along 47 and a little sliver on Galena Road, but for his property it wasn't impacted too much, but it is taken into account to our design.
But the landscaping will be outside of the IDOT property?
Right. It'll be on the private property.
Okay. I think that's what you're asking, wasn't it?
Right. Is it outside of what's going to be taken?
So they're not going to tear them out.
I don't know if it has or hasn't.
Yeah, in a year, they're not going to tear them out. So,
and the IDOT has already approached Nagel with condemnation to widen. So this all takes that into account for the future widening of 47. They'll definitely be outside the new right of way.
And then we did a couple of photo simulations. So this is looking northwest from Raging Waves towards the site. The system set way back into the property, and when you look at the photo simulation, it's hard to see really any sort of change. Really what you're seeing is the new landscape lines that are being put in to buffer the solar array.
Okay.
On that, can I ask a question on that? So you've taken the photo from a distance within the parking lot, a few hundred feet back from Route 47. Looking at the topo for this area, the parking lot's actually lower than the grade of the road, and a little bit lower than what your site would be, if I recall correctly. So when you're looking at this, there's actually a kind of an inverse effect of what you're doing. A positive effect. You're actually setting this photo lower than what the line of sight would be from the road. I get from the parking lot, this is nice, it shelters it. But when that road is elevated by about 4 feet, you're going to see a little more of this.
Yeah, we were trying to give an image of key landmarks around the site. So 47 may be slightly higher than the parking lot of Raging Waves, but we were trying to pick a spot that
works better for the visual.
I couldn't hear you correctly, Chris. You have to talk up.
It works better for the visual to pick this location.
Sure, because that's what a citizen would see if they're sitting in a car parking at the facility. And again, they talked about the goal of landscaping and fencing is 100% opacity. But so when you drive by, even when 47 is done, the fencing that is going to have the slats and be solid and then the landscaping, I don't think you're going to see the solar array.
looks like the portals going right down.
So this is another one that is at the entrance of the site along Colina Road. And again, landscape screen simulated in this picture.
So you would use that existing access right now? That's
correct.
There
it
now.
It would be upgraded to meet any requirements from the fire protection district, but the layout would remain.
But you're not adding another cut or anything to Galena?
No, the road cut would be the same. We have approval from
Fran.
DOT.
Okay.
And I'll leave it on probably the easiest visual for any additional questions, but we are really excited to be a part of the City of Yorkville. To that end, we've been working on a charitable donation that we're not ready to announce now, but hopefully by the next City Council meeting, we'll be able to release more information on that particular item.
So right now, all the land around it, including that land, is being used as ag. It's being farmed right now.
Well, other than the compost facility, who gratuitously left a good amount of the material on Nagel land that they had no...
But the vast majority of that is ag.
But right to the east in the red area is mostly ag and same down here. Right.
And then, Christy, this... was one of the parcels that we rescinded the PUD or whatever, vacated, whatever the term is, back in June, I believe, right?
Around that time, yes.
Okay. And I think one of the people urging to have that vacated was the parcel to the north.
Absolutely, with the school site on it and so on. The owner, and I don't know that they ever filed any actual zoning petition for the city, but originally they were talking with Ryan Holmes, who worked with the school district about getting rid of the requirement for a school there and paying fees. We haven't heard that Ryan's involved anymore, but yeah, we cooperated a long time with the city on it. I think Christy would tell you we did everything we could, both for NextAmp, NACL, and we also represent the Hispanic family, the Toros, who bought the commercial building that was an unnecessary building. So we worked hard to help the city get that vacated. And frankly, the owner's representation to the north talked with us often and asked us to help cooperate, and we did.
Talked to me several times. sometimes not real nicely. Which I understand. No hard feelings. So, Christy, I want to understand this. So we... repealed whatever the term is for the PUD. So any property of those parcels, in order for them to do anything other than farm, they would have to come back here with a plan?
Correct. So they maintain their underlying zoning, which is R2.
Okay.
Which is why the petitioners requested rezoning from R2 to ag.
Okay, so they need the zoning to go with what's consistent with what they're using it for now.
Correct.
And what all the other properties are using it for now. So if the property to south, for example, said, we want to do something, they can't just go do it. They got to go through the whole zoning process.
Correct.
Okay. So no one on any of these properties has any plan that is currently approved with the city.
Correct. Or applied for.
Okay.
And we have dealt with the owner to the south whose plan is zoned R2. They have absolutely no objection to the facility whatsoever.
Was there a legal objection filed on this one?
Yes.
Which property owner?
The one to the north that urged us to repeal the PUD.
Urged to repeal, but still filed a legal objection against the use.
Yes.
Yep.
What's that?
And they said over 1,300 feet from where we're developing. And again, were the people who rented to the succession of compost facilities who now have piles trespassing in our property. So it's a little bit like the pot calling the kettle black, to use one saying.
Well, when you're talking long-term property values, I understand their objection. So let me go back on one thing. when you guys are talking about the commercial potential, the triangle east of the creek, is that not plugged way based on the mapped, what map?
The commercial at the southeast corner?
Yes, east of the creek? Is that where you're talking? Where is?
Yeah, right there is what was originally part of the PUD agreement to be commercial.
And that's what you would think is still commercial at
some
point?
We would still like that to be commercial because part of your comp plan that you have commercial along 47 and not residential. If the city said, gee, we want residential there, we could certainly try, but I don't think it'd be an attractive use for residential. And again, it will be limited by the Rob Roy of how far you can go. But we
well, as of right
any,
now, there's
we haven't
no,
done any mapping.
There'd be no development because the current plan show flood way encompassing that entire parcel almost.
Almost, but not and, I don't and think then, all of it. But again, we'd have to go through mapping, engineering, and of course, pass
understood.
With the EI.
But with the 23 acres, there's a significant portion, as you said, that's under floodway, right?
Correct.
So you're putting in a slatted fence with, I don't know how many posts are gonna be augered into the site for this. Does that not require a permit
oh,
since it is within the floodplain
yeah.
in order to do that? Because my understanding is fence obstructions are pretty detrimental to floodplains and the state doesn't take those very kindly.
Well, again, and that's the same way with the Bennett parcel. We have to do the same thing. Our engineers here, Mike would probably be better at answering that question. I don't have an engineering degree, so.
Right. Have you gotten to that point where you had those reviews with the state?
We have with the Cornelius Road plan. We haven't with this one, but with the Cornelius Road, we have already gone to the state. And we had, when we ran the hydraulic analysis, which is called the headgrass modeling, it hasn't, it had showed no detrimental effect to the fencing posts through the racking system or anything. There was no detriment.
That's the same fence that they planted.
To Mr. Funkhauser's point, you will get the proper approval from the state.
Yeah.
Whatever they need, you're not just going to go rogue and build it someday and say, oh, the hell with the state. We'll just put the fence in the ground.
The EI will let us do that anyway.
Okay, I think that was the question he was trying to get at.
Get Officer Jensen out there with his gun if we try to do that.
He's the chief, not an officer. He's the chief.
I go back to the law.
Dan, he's going to follow you out. You just be careful tonight.
No gun.
Okay, other questions or comments?
Sam, one question. If I recall right, you're going to have to do some boring underneath the Robbery Creek for some of the hooking up to it?
Yeah, so the point of interconnection is basically where we connect to the grid will be the power lines that are on Route 47. The Robbery Drainage District has requested that we place the wires under the creek rather than over the creek.
So, you put where that's at, that connection point?
It's at the very south,
come on back here,
southeast corner.
Here?
I can't control this, but southeast corner of the red box. So yeah,
right
that's where there's going to be a pole for the connection to Route 47.
We might show some landscaping there for you.
Does that require you to get an NPDES permit for the state as well?
Yes, we'll have to get an NPDES permit for construction stormwater.
And that's part of your process. You get those permits as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it was at the drainage district request.
Okay.
So can you explain to me then how you will do that? So you're going to go under the creek, and then you're going to pop up right by the roadway into a pole or something? Or how to make the connection, or is it a ground connection?
It'll be a pole. ComEd will have a pole with, or two poles with pieces of equipment on them to protect the grid. And then we'll have two poles to protect our solar system, but from there all the way into the site, into the yellow boxes, all underground.
Can we go back to that aerial view then? I'm kind of curious what's there now. You want to go back? Well, if you go back to where the parking lot is shot, the where the parking lot was at. You know the picture. I wanted to see if there's a pole there now, or is this all getting put in?
Gotcha.
There's poles.
So there's poles that are on the
east side
of 47.
Right.
Yep.
And are those poles sufficient to take on the solar load?
Yep. So ComEd has done their studies on the project. There's no upgrades required for this particular project.
Other questions?
One more with the boring underneath the creek. Is there anything in the contract that holds liability should something affect the drainage?
So we haven't finished the permitting with Robert Drainage District. I suspect there will be an agreement that they're going to require us to sign. It will be cables far below the bottom of the ditch, so they have the ability to clean out the ditch in the future.
And that'll all be on this property. It's not going on anyone else's. Another property, correct?
Correct. All on our property.
Okay.
So then that, speaking of what he was just saying, so if a commercial came in then and that portion, what would happen to your connection point? Because that could be a commercial spot, right?
Well, again, the connection point, and one of the drawings we had in CBC showed a small driveway going in that ComEd could put their service vehicles in so they weren't parked parallel on 47 if they were doing ComEd repairs. So it'd be at the very southern boundary of this particular property. And again, it would be at the bottom end of the commercial. And you'd have a setback there anyway from the commercial that they would have to do a side yard setback because the land below it would be residential. So there would be room still to develop a commercial building there. I mean, it's not going to be a Target or a Jewel or something massive. Could be as small as some of the types of commercial buildings we have in Route 47, like the Tire People, the Bell's Tire, and that sort of thing. We think you get fast food there, frankly. But IDOT has told us no light, absolutely. And they've told us in the condemnation procedure we can make a look right in, right out. So it would be more of a smaller destination type of one. It could be a lawyer's office. It could be a real estate office.
Other questions? So again, Christy, this would need to go from R2 to A1.
Correct.
Okay.
Special use.
Okay. And the ag is what's being performed on there now.
Correct.
And the surrounding properties are ag.
They're used as ag, but zoned out.
Yeah, they're being used as ag, correct. The use right now is ag. And
other than, and I don't think there's anybody else in the room as old as I am that would have knowledge that the only user out there other than farming that's been was in the early 70s. It was the tail end of what was called the Seal Nelson landfill. And he was a gentleman who ran a landfill that took all the local purveyors of waste in Kendall County, Oswego, Yorkville, Newark, Montgomery, and so on. And in the real early 70s, the EPA closed them down. I mean, it was a real primitive operation. They went out there, they dumped, sealed, burned it every night, buried a little bit more. And it's been cleared. It's not on any of the EPA hot lists, but that's the only activity other than the waste facility that's happened out there. It's been farmed since the get-go.
And so if we do give this zoning, I guess whether we do or not, Christy, they're talking about residential, commercial, the front, they again would still have to go through the process through the staff, through the committees, through the zone commission, and in front of the council. So this wouldn't be granting anything else.
Correct.
Other than this. So other questions?
So the change in the zoning, does that reduce the taxes? I mean, it's probably not very much, but
probably not, because the taxes should go with the use.
And why didn't you build a residential, you know, a residential?
No, until it's actually developed. If you look at any of these properties, they're getting taxed as farmland right now.
Yeah, even though they're zoned R2, they're being taxed as farmland.
Okay.
But it'll go up substantially with the special use when the array is put up. So it's not a fortune in real estate taxes for the city.
But it's more than than farming.
Definitely. And it'll be a nice bump up for the school.
Yeah, the school's probably got 30, 40 grand a year out of it.
Yeah, so currently the 23 acres that comprise the project area pay about $1,200 a year in tax. The solar system under the state required solar tax regime will be paying about $40,000 a year. So that's...
$40,000 total?
Correct.
And about three quarters that,
about 70% school.
Yeah, 28 to 30 grand.
Over the course of the term of the project, it's about $1.1 million in total tax revenue versus about $100,000 that would be paid over the term of the project in the state agriculture.
And if they're homes, there'd be a lot of kids in the school. So.
Yeah. So we don't use any public resources. We're not using the libraries or the schools outside of construction. We have maybe 12 site visits a year and a pickup truck to mow the grass. Really not a lot of burden on public infrastructure.
Other questions or comments?
I guess it always comes down to the money on the issues. You know, that's the last thing we hear is the tax revenue that'll come in. It's not gonna hurt anybody, it's just gonna benefit the schools. It will have an impact on our gateway to the city though.
Christy, this does meet the setback so that the city council approved.
Correct.
In March, 7 months ago. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your patience.
See you in a couple weeks. This will be on the agenda in 2 weeks, or next meeting. It might be 3 weeks.
You're going to keep the 12th day you can
do election. The election's the 5th.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're not the county.
Going to 12.
Whatever the, we're the second and fourth Tuesday.
Second,
yeah. Dan, you're thinking county days, where they have the first Tuesday where they have to shift it.
We have to move right.
Yeah, we
Thank
don't.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay. Next. Oh my gosh. Do we have to vote on these next two?
Yeah,
I forget. We
yeah.
do.
Here's one motion.
Okay. I'm looking for a motion to authorize staff to notify Kendall County that City Council does not have any objections to the proposed map amendment for the 1.5 mile review for 11327 11209 River Road. Looking for a motion, second.
So moved.
Second.
Transier and Plocher, or any discussion? Roll call.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, I'm looking for a motion in a second to authorize staff to notify Kendall County that the council has no objections, does not have any objections, no objections.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
For 5862 and 5834 Championship Court, there's motion second. Did you get those?
Merrick.
Yeah. Was that Plocher?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Chris. I thought it was fine.
Oh, guys. Was it Chris?
Yeah.
It was Chris.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Roll call.
Trulis? Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I take that as an aye, thank you. Nothing else from Planning and Zoning Commission. City Council report? City Clerk report?
No report.
Community Liaison report? Staff report?
No report.
Mayor's report? Building updates or water study update? We already covered those. Additional business, any? Citizen comments? Anyone have any comments? Welcome back. That was a TV show from, was that late 70s? Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back. Welcome back. I know you're not Cotter. Gabe Kaplan. You remember that TV show? Welcome back, Cotter. Oh, it's a great show. Vinnie Barbarino, that was John Travolta. Yeah. Got to get those rabbit ears out and tune that TV in. Anyway, you know the routine, please. We haven't seen you in a while.
No, yeah. My name is Barb Kintree. I thank you, Mr. Mayor, for acknowledging that this is the year 2024 of our Lord. I wrote these comments after the small committee meeting a couple weeks ago about the cannabis issue, and I was told that after that meeting, this council would still make some decisions. So I don't know if I'm right or wrong on that. The room is kind of empty.
So let me just let you know, the petitioner has removed that request.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a dead issue there.
Okay. Well, that's only one of three items.
That's fine. I figured you'd have a few others.
Okay.
I was waiting for the rest of the clan.
Okay. I remember asking you, Mr. Mayor, a few years ago if you had ever watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And I would invite you to do so again, because there are some things that concern me about this city, like the drag in family settings, the alcohol at the water park, and even considering possibly cannabis as a city business. Those things of that nature, I'm concerned that Yorkville is sliding down into the Pottersville of that movie, which was sleazy and corrupt. A Pottersville is out of character for being a city in this nation of America, which is under the Most High God, as it's so when we say the pledge. His rulings and precepts are revealed in the Bible and will, when followed, recover Yorkville to being a wellspring of life, not a hotbed of indecency and degradation. Mr. Mayor and Council, if you as public servants consider ignoring conscientiously crafted ordinances which safeguard the well-being of children and maintain a wholesome city atmosphere, this will bring you no honor from honest and upright citizens. Beyond that, for you in this way to scorn God's principles and precepts for community life will bring you no honor from Him. Rather, just judgments against wickedness will be executed by Him. Wisdom calls you to use the Book of Books as your guide and remove Pottersville from Yorkville. Since Yorkville is in a nation under the God of the Bible, this is the only way for you to truly and commendably fulfill your roles as public servants in America. And since the Lord of Hosts is moving His hand to cleanse the earth, it is the only way to be preserved. So I urge you to make policies and keep ordinances which will turn this city to God from sin. This can only be done as you behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I urge you to behold Him and give this city to Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Good to see you again. Made the trek from Plano.
It's a long one.
It is, especially catch all those darn lights. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, I regret to say we do have executive session, as you can probably see on the agenda. So I'm looking for a motion to go into executive session for litigation when action against, affecting, or on behalf has been filed or is imminent, and for the purchase or lease of real property for the use of public body. Is there a motion? Coke, is there a second? I know, I'm sorry. We'll make it quick, we will. Mr. Koch and Mr. Merrick, roll call, please.
Transier?
Yep.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Wait for Joe to abstain.
I was waiting for him to vote no. Okay, motion carried. We will not have action after the meeting, so... You can leave. You could have left before. I wouldn't have been upset. I tell you now.
A long time ago.
Yeah. But there's no action after the meeting or after the executive session. So if anyone wants to stick around, they can. But 34, we're back in regular session. Motion by Transair or Cornel, second by Transair to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:44.